I planned this service for the 23rd of August. And when it became clear that we had that week, the instruction to lock down, I was very disappointed. And I have carried a message in my Bible that I prepared for that Sunday. I've read it almost every other day since then, because it's been in the back of my Bible. And last night I had terrible, terrible fears and questioning. Had I got the right message for today? Because what I wanted to share with you, that this week is the anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower. And four families from here were on that boat. 120 days, great difficulty. They made little box areas for themselves with their luggage and their belongings and the things that they were going to. Suffered terrible, terrible storms on the ocean. But they made it. They made it. They were the Congregationalists fleeing from the persecution that was going on here. And so I thought, how do I wed that together? And at 7 o'clock this morning, I was standing in the open air right up at the top end of Hall Road in the graveyard. And I opened my heart out to the Lord and said, give me two indications that what I have prepared is what I have to preach. I listened to, and it's a great half hour, at 8 o'clock, all the local radios come together and have a 25-minute service. And I turned it on, and a booming noise came out. I thought, what on earth is this? And it was, make me a pilgrim. Who would true valor see? And that was what I want to speak about. And I said, Lord, that's number one. Do you know what number two is? The last song on your sheet was number two. And a little bit of what went on in between as well. So I want to bring you back to Psalm 84. If you still keep your notes, it's the 23rd of August. And it's, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. I've come home. This is where I belong. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. I've wanted to be here week in and week out, to be with you, to be with us, to be with each other. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrows have found a home. The swallows a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They're ever praising you. And then Selah comes in. You've got to kick to another level with this Hebrew phrase. It's a pause line. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. And here's my phrase. Who have set their hearts on the pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. And the autumn rains also covered it with pools. And they go from strength to strength till each of them appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God. Hear Listen to me, O God of Jacob. And then there's another kick in. Selah. Pause at this. Get yourself to another level. Better is one day in your court than a thousand elsewhere. Because I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing will he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. The Jews were required to go up to Jerusalem for three annual feasts, the Passover, the Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles. And for 40 years after the Exodus from Egypt, they'd been wandering, a people going to and fro in the Promised Land. And so they needed a constant reminder, you see, that they were still pilgrims when they actually did settle in the Promised Land. In 1 Chronicles 29, you read this: everything comes from you, God. We are aliens, we're strangers in your sight, as were our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow. What's our home? Where do we belong? What's the place we want to be? See, a vagrant, a tramp, has no home. A fugitive is running away from home. A stranger is away from home. A refugee. See those dreadful scenes in Greece this week? They've all lost their home. But a pilgrim is heading home. This world is not my home, says the old spiritual. I'm just a passing through. And life has its disappointments and its distractions. The problem of so many people in the distancing, saying they're going to do their own thing. It's been a challenge at what is the priority in our lives. And I've tried to keep a focus with you in those church at home notes that we are men and women whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. We're going somewhere. We've got another home. Another home. And I've played again and again those stirring notes of "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I'm weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand." Larry Libby has a book out, No Matter Where, No Matter What. And he tells the story of a deer hunter called Bob, who every autumn on the mountains of California was allowed in an area by the farmers and the ranchers to shoot deer. And he asked, could he drive through a particular gate at a certain point on the acreage to do some hunting there? And the rancher said to him, "I'll take you. I'll take you. If you're going to come on the land, I had better ride with you for a while. I want to show you something." So the pair drive through the gate, and they're driving hard across what looks like a wide, seamless, featureless area. And then the rancher says, "Stop!" And Bob did so. As far as he could see, there is no deer, there are no creeks, there are no gullies, there are no fences. And the ranger says, "Park right here. I want to show you something." And they got out of the truck and they started walking, and then the rancher put his hand on Bob's shoulder and said, look ahead of you. And going at right angles as far as you could see in both directions was a huge black tear in the surface of the earth, a crack that was probably 30 feet or more across. It was a great volcanic fissure that was there. Unknown depths, cold, still air. It just seemed to be exhaling its darkness into the air and the blackness at that moment. And Bob walked back to his truck, marveling at how difficult it was to see the fissure, to see the crack, to see the volcanic fissure. And he said, having a guide was a good thing. And he had a new appreciation for the man who knew the terrain and was able to say, you know, thank you. And I've been reading in the prophets, and I came across Micah 2:13, that says this about God: "You are the one who breaks open the way, and it will go up, and we will go up before you." And we have, as pilgrims on the way, we've had an enormous journey, and it's not over yet. It's been so difficult for the past 6 months. And how here's this psalmist, he's come into the valley of Baca. The temple courts, they're up there. It's a struggle to get up beyond the fissure. Baca was a name for a tree, a balsam tree. It only grows in dry, arid, barren places. And it oozes out a gum, so it looks like tears. It looks like it's weeping. And here, the psalmist says, he was in the valley of Baca. So geographically and psychologically, it was a tough, hard place to be in. And it was going to be a long, hard climb to get up and get out of the place. And so that's when the psalmist sings this song. He's going to reach Mount Zion, where the temple stands. And I've come to understand this as a pastor. The Valley of Baca is a name you can give for any difficulty, any painful experience in your life, the experience that makes things seem hopeless and you feel helpless. So often, Baca is in your way. It's taken a new name for us. It's been called COVID-19. You can't go round it, and you've had to stay in it, and we've got to go through it. So what are the lessons of the psalmist's song? The first thing in verse 4 was his heart. A heart that's devoted. He's been saying it's wonderful to think how beautiful the temple is. It's your house. It's your dwelling place. I know we can worship God anytime, anywhere. But there are special places. And this for me for 50 years or more has been my special place, where I've worshipped. And for 6 months, I was able just to walk in on my own, not see you, not hear you sing, not talk with you, not share anything with you. Baka, Baka. Don't take lightly the privilege of what you're doing this morning. Don't take lightly when we get back in the sanctuary. He calls it dwelling in the courts of the Lord. It's verse 4. Don't ever take the church sanctuary and fellowship with the people of God. Don't take it for granted. Oh, it's raining. Won't bother today. It's a great privilege. If you want to be blessed of God, the all-important thing is to have your heart devoted to Him. And He remembers the people who are going to be there, the priests, the Levites who work there, and even the sparrows that have made some kind of nests and so on. I'll tell you what it's cost for you and for me to walk through Baka COVID-19 and every other helpless and hopeless scenario that's occurred in our lives. The price tag for worshipping here, the price tag for being men and women who know a Savior, is a cross. It's knowing that Jesus is the only one who can open a way to a right relationship with God. That He bridged the gap of that huge fissure that separated us from Him. And the thorn crown and the nail spikes and the awfulness of the cross lets us know that no matter what we have done and no matter where we are in life and no matter how we feel about ourselves, this is the answer. Jesus gives His all so we can come home. We can find our way to God. We can open up our lives to experience His love and His grace and His power, His blessing, and in return, give Him our heart's devotion. That's why I want to worship Him. But it's not just my heart devoted, it's my life strengthened by Him. And there are a number of ways of changing circumstances. There's a kind of kaleidoscope here of encounters. All of us experience day by day. But there is an inevitability that sooner or later you have to get back to where you're going on your journey. And it's going to take you through Baka. We are not out of Baka yet. We're not out of COVID-19 yet. It's going to have all sorts of twists and turns. So we have to look beyond the present. What? How lovely is your dwelling? It's beautiful in the sanctuary. There's a new carpet down, painted front window. It's just waiting for us. It's what in your heart, you know, that will count. You will not always be in COVID-19. He says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Others have made it to the top. So look beyond the present and look for increased strength. Your stamina, my stamina is not enough. We need, verse 5 talks about, I want your strength in me. And you know, when you get into your valley of tears, when you get overwhelmed, when you cannot cope, you can go from strength to strength if you're on this pilgrimage. Just keep moving, one step at a time, going on, not giving up, not giving in, not giving out to despair, and look for the good. Insist on something, that the trials we are going through should become a blessing. Here he is in Baca, and he says, make this a place of springs, fresh water. And I hope that church at home has been a place of springs for you. We've tried to water you every single week without fail. Without fail, in a multiplicity of ways. Why have we done it? Because your heart was set on a pilgrimage. We wanted you to take the next step and the next. And in the place where we shed our tears, there's a refreshing that God will send. The autumn rains cover it with pools so they can go from strength to strength. God's been working out his purposes. I know there's been bitterness. I know there's been despair. I know there's been twisted thinking. I know it seemed unfair at times. Baca can do all of that. But we need to make it a blessing and not a curse, a triumph and not a tragedy. And you only discover that when you take one step at a time, one day at a time, one blessing at a time. Abraham and Isaac, you know, would dig a well. Elijah would pray down fire and then the rain. Well, whatever. The journey may be tough, but listen to me, family of God. You can go from strength to strength. So your heart devoted, your life strengthened, and your faith. You will need a faith trusting when you're going through the tough times, when you struggle in places like this. Hear my prayer. You do not know. I have lost count. I make it a ritual every morning to go to a set place in my home to pray for folk just like you, to pray for the church, to pray for myself, to pray for my family, to pray for my nation, to pray for my world, to pray about the scenario that's in it. And sometimes I don't have words. And I sit there, I've read the word, I've reflected on it, and I just say, Lord, I don't even know what to say to you. I don't know what to say to you. Would you help me? Would you do, because you know my heart. You see, I'm a pilgrim. I'm on the way. And when you read this psalm again, you find out God is our provision. He's our protection. He's the shield. He's the giving God. He gives grace for the journey. And there will be glory at the end, because the psalmist says, I'll get there. I'll get home. I'll get to the courts of the Lord. I've learned he doesn't give us all we want, but he does give us all that's good for us. Because verse 11 says, no good thing will he, will God, withhold from them that fear him. As you see, four times he says, O Lord God Almighty. And I wanted to share with you this morning this simple truth. The psalmist knew no difficulty was beyond God's power. Nothing was stronger than him. And that's what I wanted you to know too. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, in the valley when it's hard, when we feel so weak, when we wonder if we're going to make it, when we're in our Baca, when we're in this COVID-19 confusion and despair. My heart, I'm going to say it for my people here, our hearts are set on the pilgrimage. And we know that with your help, we're going to make it. With every hurt, you'll bring healing. With every loss, you'll bring gain. With every time we open your word, you will encourage us that Baca is not the end of the journey, just a stop along the way. Lord, take us on in the journey, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to sing now Psalm 23.